if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello and indeed ahoy hoy, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 277 of the Tron of BRB UK. I'm Dan, I'm your host. It is a thing, this is a show, this is a podcast. I'm speaking to a mic. I'm co-located virtually with Timothy Hibbs. Say hello.
Hello.
And he is physically co-located, but I'm virtually co-located with Cole Mann.
Hi.
How you doing, mate?
Which one?
But either of you. Just fight it out amongst yourselves. See who wants to speak first.
Well, should we do it? Should we do it at the exact same time?
I am Dan's better friend, so I am assuming.
Right and,
Well, that's usually what Tim speaks over you anyway, so it wouldn't make much difference. To be fair,
yeah, it's just the norm.
Such is life.
Mm-hmm. So, what have you chumps been up to?
Toy fair.
Yeah, we went to toy fair yesterday. Yay!
Saw grown toys. Men playing with toys.
Well, to be fair, we were there more for the board game portion of things. We were tapping up some people for Tabletop Tuesday and
excellent.
General reviews for the site, etc. as well.
I went straight from work, so I was testing to see how long I could stay awake for.
Excellent. And how long could you stay awake for?
The entire day.
Yeah. Really? Jesus. And then did you go to work again?
Till about 8 or 9 in the evening. No, it's my time off now.
Christ. Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy I no longer do night shifts.
I'm off till next week now. I'm good.
Whee! Then you should be hunting all the monsters.
Yes, let's do the monster hunting.
Because that's out tomorrow, is the day we record. And I've been convinced by it by Coleman, basically going, Dan!
That is not how I did it. I just went, hey, we're all picking it up. Tim has access to it. Let's play Monster Hunter and make a video.
But my way of describing it is infinitely more fun.
He's got you there.
Rather than Coleman sent me an instant message or a direct message inquiring whether or not I was going to be playing the Monster Hunters, and I replied in the affirmative. Infirmative? I could be infirmative.
Wow.
Infirmative.
To be honest, I've done more begging to Kev than I have you.
Again, so. I prefer that too. But
yeah, well, I managed to get Kev to prize off his VR helmet, which he's absolutely loving, and has gone, yeah, sure, you ought to get one. Yeah, but PSVR,
I am glad to see.
Well, he says you need to get a proper VR system though, because PSVR doesn't count.
He's got one. He's got an Oculus Rift DK2.
Yeah, that doesn't count either. That doesn't count, apparently, according to Kev. So me and him, I managed to prize him out of that to have a couple of rounds of a game I should be talking about next week.
Okay.
That involves, well, let's just say I've got a clearly identified niche in the staff at BRB.
Wow. We know you well, Dan. We've got you down to a T.
It involves dicks. It involves butts. It involves dick butts. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
We know you like being at the very tip of gaming journalism.
I very much enjoy kind of being at that tip and really kind of being an upstanding member of the video game community. I think that's quite important.
Can we say the name of the game so everyone's
Gentle Jousting?
Yes,
Gentle Jousting. So if you want to hear about the exploits of me and Kev waving our willies at each other, I am not joking. That's going to be on next week's show. There's a reason for you to come back if nothing else. But anyway. We are short of time today because I've got boring, real work stuff to do after this podcast. I know, right? So I'm going to get on with the news.
The first bit really isn't news.
The first bit is not that surprising. So Anthem, the 37th Destiny killer to be announced after Destiny was released. And actually does stand a chance of killing Destiny because Destiny, frankly, is on. Destiny 2, sadly, is on its life support system.
Yeah, I think Destiny 2 is doing a pretty good job of killing itself. So
yes, it's eyeing up its own plug, a plug for the ventilator machine, and could accidentally kick it out at any point in time.
Am I the only one enjoying Destiny 2? I keep hearing these reports and like, none of this has bothered me.
Basically, you're not playing it enough.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say I've been playing more Division the past couple of weeks.
Ooh.
Which is really chuffing good now. Really, really good.
See, if you wait a couple of years, Destiny 2 might be really good.
Yeah, but by that point, we'll be on Destiny 4.
That is true.
So, yes, but EA's purported Destiny killer Anthem Has been delayed, apparently.
Shock horror.
Well, shock horror.
This still is slightly unconfirmed, but also the least bit of news you needed to confirm. I believe if you rewind a couple of weeks back to the show where we were predicting our games of the year, I literally said, I will not pick this as a game of the year because there's no way it's coming out in 2018.
Yeah, well, it may come out in fiscal 18-19.
Yeah.
So what's the reason for the hypothetical delay?
So Anthem was originally slated to be out during fall 2018, but apparently that's now looking really unrealistic. But I think because of all the controversy about, you know, microtransactions, the hot water EA's found itself in, kind of them standing at the touchlines going, well, Destiny's all kind of messed up, isn't it? How do they get themselves into that situation? I think they are doubling down on making sure they really knock it out of the park. And I wouldn't be surprised if it had, was it initially planned to have more of a microtransaction-y element than it ends up having.
Yeah, and I think the other part of the problem is they literally can't afford to not get it right first time with this game.
Absolutely.
Basically.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
But it's a corking-looking game. I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, who knows? There may be a beta. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did an open alpha or a beta sometime around E3. And that would sound about right to drum up support for the game.
What, you reckon this year, E3?
Maybe, yeah, and there's also the point that Destiny 2 will be scheduled to release its first big-ish expansion in September, and if they schedule for a beta or an alpha, then they could quite easily do a bit of a hatchet job on Destiny. You know, strategically, it's the right thing to do, I would argue.
I think, from what we've seen, it's a cracking-looking vertical slice, and I can't wait to see how it doesn't look like that in real life when it comes out.
Yep, I know, right? But anyway, so we'll see what happens with Anthem. No official news as yet, but we'll see. That's a long-winded way of saying we haven't got a clue. It's a rumor. It's been unsubstantiated. We don't know.
But I pretty much, as I said, even before this rumor, I guarantee this game isn't coming out this year.
We shall see, Timothy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We shall see. If Coleman likes it, it might even be cancelled. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's why I'm not saying anything. Did any of us pick Anthem for our games to watch this
year? I believe I did.
Yep.
Ooh, it's Dan's year.
It's my year. It's
guess
my year
to, Dan.
To have the inverse Midas touch and turn everything I touch to sh**.
Do you know who else's year it is?
Who else's year is it?
People who subscribe to Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, I know, right?
All five of them.
Yeah. So, hang on. How many things can you purchase a subscription for your Xbox now? So, there's Xbox Gold, Xbox Live Gold, Xbox Pass. Is Groove Music still a thing? Have they shut that down now?
Do they just refer to it as Games to Gold now? They don't even refer to it as Xbox Live, basically. It's just the Games with Gold service you're subscribing to. Is that the way they kind of market it?
Games with Gold comes with Xbox Live. They still call it Games with...
I'm just wondering. I haven't really seen much thing. I did just renew my Xbox Live thing because it was on auto-renew the other day, and I'm like, is that really worth me doing that anymore? I kind of forget I have an Xbox most of the time, let alone play multiplayer on it. I'm not sure I need Xbox Live much.
But all the big brouhaha about the Xbox Game Pass, which has been in existence for a little while, admittedly, with an increasingly tepid catalogue of games.
Like, a lot of people seem to really rave about it, but I just... It's 100 games that I seem to own most of the ones I care about.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think we're kind of probably not the right market for it, although the amount we've all played our Xbox Ones in the past couple of months, probably we might have a pleasant surprise around the corner as we actually play games we never touched in the first place. But they're making a bit more of an attractive offering by going forward, committing themselves to the madness that is saying all first-party games will show up on Xbox Game Pass on the day of release.
That's an incredible ball to have in your court. That's amazing. I've already said that Game Pass, since they announced it, the whole system seems like a better offer than what you're getting through PlayStation. Is it View? I forget what the name of the...
Now.
PlayStation Now is mixed.
What? PlayStation Then.
Yeah, PlayStation Now, so PlayStation Then.
The ability to actually physically download your games and not have to stream them is a big plus, and like they have a cracking library on there that isn't just formulated of like, hey, here's every PS3 copy of Ben 10.
Well, I have a number of, like, everyone seems to be very happy with this, but I have a number of reservations about it. I'm not saying
it's
not
you do.
A bad thing, but they don't make it entirely clear, but I think from what I've read reading up on this, that you get those games for a month after launch.
That's no. Good.
That's not good.
No. They appear on there, and you have access to them for as long as you're paying the monthly subscription.
Right. I believe that's the case with the other games.
I'm going to fact check this then.
You can double check me, but that's what I believe Phil Spencer was saying on Twitter to people that were asking questions about it.
I mean, as long as it's
clarifying things. Because you can then, once they move, after a month when they've moved out of the system, you can buy them at a discounted rate as a part of this service, basically. Okay. You get like 20% off or something.
That makes sense. As long as, I mean, I don't mind if it's a timed thing. If you get like, hey, you can play Crackdown 3 for 6 hours or something, then that's still an attractive offer for me.
Well, if it's available for a month, you can play most.
Well, yeah,
of the
okay. If you if it's a month, that's brilliant. But yeah. I'm saying if there's a timed thing, then I'm fine with that as well. But the only thing I don't want is what EA do with their game. What's their thing called? The Vault or something?
Game. Oh yeah, yeah. EA Vault, I think it is.
EA subscription model on the Xbox as well. Yeah. Where they originally went, hey, we're going to put new releases on here for a timed thing, so you can have 2 hours of the new Need for Speed game to try out, see if you like it, and if you do, you can buy it. And a lot of games, I did get enough in 2 hours, I didn't buy them, so it probably backfired. When they go, here's a special demo that you've got access to. It's like, no, give me the full game for the timed thing, otherwise you're going back on what you said. As long as they don't start doing that, I'll be a happy man.
Right, but then my other reservation is...
Hang on, I'm just going to go back on what you said, Tim.
Okay,
that
okay,
I cannot
okay.
find any evidence that you get locked out of the game after the first month.
Okay.
I think you may have read something a bit funny.
As I said, that's what the conversation seemed to be on Twitter. That was from Phil Spencer replying to someone else, clarifying some of the points about this service. So, I could have misread that. It was... Like, as I said, trying to read up on it and read between the lines, but yeah, I'm not sure. My other reservation, which is something that, yeah, like you can't really say, how many games are we talking about? Because they talk about 5 different things. I can't think of another game other than, yeah, well, 6 maybe in total, possibly.
Well, we're talking about Xbox exclusive launch. Well, Xbox
first party
games,
right?
Unless it's specifically worked out of another company, I'd assume.
And by first party, they mean developed and or published by Microsoft Studios.
Yeah, and how many games does that cover these days? Like I said, 6 titles that I know of.
So that's all your Forzas. That's all your Crackdowns.
Counting Forza as 2 things. I was counting Forza and Forza Horizon as 2 separate things within my list of 6.
Your Gears of Wars is.
That may not be vendor, but if you only use your Xbox like I do for Xbox exclusive stuff, that's a hell of an offer.
Yeah, exactly. Right, but is it? How much is it a month?
It's like
$10.99. Oh, is it
$7.99?
$10, or let's call it $7.99. So
I think the UK price is $7.99.
So in the US, then, right? So you pay $10 a month. There's 12 months in a year, $120. If you play only 2 of the games that are new releases in the year, you're still even, based on RRP.
Right. All I'm saying is, if you're talking about the games that are first party title releases, how many of those games are we getting this year? Considering Crackdown 3 is at the moment unconfirmed vaporware, we've got State of Decay 2, which I don't really care about. The next Halo, which I don't currently care about. Forza, which I don't really care about.
I do.
Forza Horizon, which I do care about.
I do.
And Gears of War, if they make another one of them, then I might care about.
And possibly Perfect Dark and Fable.
But we're talking about 3 to 4 games a year maximum.
Yes, but Tim, what's to stop me going, hey, this new Xbox game's out, I'm going to pay $7.99 for this month, play as much as I need, and then cancel?
I don't know. Is it? Can you cancel every?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, you can. I'd imagine they might do a deal where if you pay for a year up front, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
But you can do a month by month thing, much like you can with the EA/Origins Vault. But the other big pull for this is that going forward, all of the first party Microsoft titles are going to be cross play with PC. And the Game Pass will work if you have a PC.
Yeah,
okay.
So that is quite a big deal, really.
So another thing I'm not interested in, just personally.
You're not interested in it, Tim, doesn't mean that other people won't be.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I personally have reservations because this doesn't seem like it's going to be that great a deal for me. put it that
way.
Well,
for you, fine. But, I mean, look at it from Microsoft's point of view. I mean, this is a really solid thing for them to have in the back of their pocket going forward, where, you know, PlayStation Plus is looking, if it wasn't for the multiplayer, you know, certainly the games that start to show up on PS Plus aren't that great. PlayStation now is dead in the water, and Microsoft have got this massive back catalogue which you're going to have unfettered access to. It's a pretty incredible deal, really, if you think about it.
No, right. The, for me, the backwards compatibility is the main reason I'm keeping my Xbox One at the moment, basically. Like, that I can't really see a strong other reason for me to personally own one at the moment. But generally speaking, I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad deal, but generally speaking, I think they've just announced this month that there's some particularly interesting games coming to Games for Gold, like Split Second, which I'm really interested in. But generally speaking, most months, the PS Plus offering betters the Games with Gold offering, generally.
Okay. Well, I'll put it this way. I was looking forward to Sea of Thieves, which comes out on March the 20th. I'm now looking forward to not spending £50 on Sea of Thieves.
Hell yeah.
Paying $7.99 and then cancelling my subscription.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you can do. And, you know, right, I mean, Games with Gold, you're right, Split Second from the 360 is in this month's game. And that's a corking, massively underappreciated game, Split Second.
Mm. £5 in CX, by the way.
Yeah, excellent. So, there we go. The other ones are what? Shadow Warrior, Assassin's Creed Chronicles, India, and Crazy Taxi. So,
yeah, good driving games.
By the way, the port of Crazy Taxi that they took all the Offspring songs out of.
Yeah.
Excellent. So
it feels, like it lost its soul a bit.
One out of four ain't bad.
Yeah.
I think that if they are very clearly positioning it as like the Netflix of games is where they're trying to go, and I think that's a very sensible place to go. And I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft embraced much more of a games as a service model going forward for their big launches, and it all becomes conflated with Xbox Live, so you're actually only paying one subscription.
Well, that's my other misgiving. Like, at the moment, to get the best out of your Xbox, you kind of have to pay for both, kind of thing.
As is the case with PlayStation.
Well, no, that's it. Well, if you want PS Now, but yeah.
Or multiplayer games.
Game Pass, yeah. But yeah.
I mean, I think, Colm, what do you think? It's a pretty good deal, right?
I think it's an excellent deal.
Let me put it this way. It's generally not a bad deal for most people, especially if you haven't bought any of the games that are already available on the service. For me personally, I can't see that this attracts me to the deal for any more than possibly, like Coleman said, buying it for the month when Sea of Thieves comes out just so I can mess
for
around.
For me, I wish PlayStation did this deal. If they charged that lower price for PlayStation Now and then went, hey, we're going to put all our PlayStation exclusive games, release games, up on day one on this service, I would pay for that service for the month, that game, rather than paying £50 for the game.
And don't get me wrong, as I said, I think it's a good deal for other people. Just me personally, it doesn't particularly attract me to necessarily doing it every month. Like you said, if it was on PlayStation and this puts the onus back on PlayStation to possibly respond to this.
I think that onus has been there for a while, to be honest with you.
What if they were VR games, Tim?
What if they were VR? What if you could strap something to your face?
What if you could save the thousands of pounds you spend
once
on
again,
VR games?
I'm in a lucky position where I own most of the games that I want at the moment, kind of thing. I mean, so, and if not, I rent them. So
do I. I have a copy of Destiny 2.
That's all the games you'll ever need.
Hunter World.
I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad deal. I'm just saying personally, it doesn't attract me to it for, you know, reasons which I've already gone into. But
and everyone else's opinion, null and void. Very good. But there is a reason, perhaps, why PlayStation owners need not be too downcast about this, because it's been blown wide open. It's been blown wide open, the PlayStation.
They're blowing the bloody doors off, Dan.
They are blowing the bloody doors off, mate. They've only gone and ruddy hacked it, apparently.
Well, kind of.
So, according to Eurogamer, there's an exploit in an old version of the console's firmware. So you have to travel back in time and install system software 4.05 on your PS4.
Yep.
But if you do that, you can get Linux running on it. And you
Linux?
Can...
Linux?
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 Linux, you weirdo.
All right. No, his name's Linus, the guy who made it.
He was the guy with the blanket in Snoopy.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. Also the creator of Linux.
Oh, fair enough.
All right. So it actually makes sense to call it Linux, you
Everyone
ingrate.
Says Linux.
Yeah, all right, Linux then. We're seeing Linux support Happy and the creation of a homebrew enabler. And once you've got your homebrew going, you can then run whatever the devil you like.
They're brewing beer on their PlayStations, Dan.
Yes,
that sounds like
exactly
a dumb
what
thing
doing,
to
Tim.
Do.
Exactly.
Sounds dumb. Yeah, but I mean, like you said, you have to travel back in time or have not updated your console in a while, which there's not going to be very many PS4s these days that are going to fit into that thing, no? Because generally,
if you want it, they can.
Well, no, if you want a release quality game, like as it is on the disc, then that's probably not the way to do most games
or
these days.
Even in the case where you picked up that new PSVR game yesterday, Tim, mm-hmm. and you went to play that, and it was like, I think it's like a release key on the disc that enables the whole game to download.
Well, basically, it's an 11 gig game overall. Yeah. We're talking about the Impatient. 11 gig game overall, and it had a 9.3 gig update. I'm like, come on, that's taking the mickey.
It's insane. So,
when 9/11 of your game is being downloaded.
So you would be subject to that. Or even like Telltale Games. Telltale Games that come on the disc, they come with episode 1 and a season pass to download the rest of the episodes. So you'd be missing out on stuff like that, although Telltale Games aren't that great these days.
Yeah.
For the most part. But a big problem with this update is that it requires 4.05 to update, and one of the arguments is, hey, system software updates itself now if you've got your thing in rest mode or you're leaving it on downloads in the background, that kind of thing. But 5.05 actually downloads but doesn't self-install. You have to trigger that yourself now. It's been doing that for like last two updates, I think. It's become weirdly optional. So you might be in a position where you could crack the PS4 if you wanted to, but just doing it for PS2 emulated games, I'm not sure why you'd want to.
Yeah, just buy a PS2?
Yeah, PS2's a super cheap right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think for most people, it's a point of principle what they want to do. And, you know, if they've got an old PS4 lying around, yes, they have unfettered access to do whatever the devil they like with it. And the PS4's got enough grunt on it that you could probably emulate most things quite nicely. So from that point of view, people might be happy with it. But you can also just spend £35 on a Raspberry Pi 3 and pretty much get the same result, you know?
Fair enough.
Yeah, but, you know, I think, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, that even in this day and age, there are some people who are so bloody minded about these things that they can still be bothered to install 2.5-year-old firmware on the PS4 and do some crap with it. So, yes, there we go.
Yeah, and good luck to you if that's the type of thing you want to do. Good, have fun.
So next thing, though, apparently on PlayStation related stuff, and Coleman, you're probably quite happy about this.
Mm-hmm. Everyone mm-hmm. bloody seems to think I'm happy about this.
Why do you think that might be?
What happened is a little game called Smash Brothers once came out on the N64, and in that game the ending scenes kind of reveal that all the characters you're playing at, there's these Nintendo characters, they're actually little stand-up figurines, and ever since then I've wanted those to exist. And they've made several different Smash Brothers games, and it wasn't until the Wii U version where they actually made those toys, and they're called Amiibo. So I've endeavored to collect that entire line of Smash Brothers toys, not necessarily all the other toys, just the Smash Brothers ones, although I do have some of the other, like, limited edition type things.
But they're for other entertainment purposes.
So what my man-child friend is trying to describe what we're trying to get round to is that apparently PlayStation are trying to jump on this bandwagon by kind of making figures that don't really do anything with your PS4.
These aren't NFC enabled figurines.
Invaded.
They don't have a chip in the base of them at all. What these are quite nice-looking figurines made by ThinkGeek that are officially PlayStation licensed of various different PlayStation characters. So kind of like how Amiibo started with the Smash Brothers stuff, the PlayStation are using various different PlayStation characters. They're nice little figurines. They depict, you've got Kratos, Crash Bandicoot, Heihachi, Parappa the Rapper, the Hunter from Bloodborne, and the Fighter FX350, which is a ship from Wipeout. And I went to go check these out myself while we were at the toy fair yesterday, and they are very nice, detailed-looking figurines. The pictures that have been released don't give it justice at all, because I saw these photos and went, well, they just look like crap. And then when I actually held one in my hand and looked at the detail, I went, these are really nice, actually. Can't believe these are only however much, because they're $9.99 over in the US. So I was like, wow, I can't believe they're only $10 in the US. I wonder how much they're going to be in the UK. £14.99. they've not worked out conversion rates.
No. But as, you know, as any good collector of these things, and I know your approach to Amiibo is this way in Clyde Coleman, what's the arse feel like on them?
I don't know, I didn't really check.
Did you, was it a kind of a cursory bit of lube you had to put on the outside of it, or was it just...
I mean, I'd imagine Parappa the Rapper would be okay. But, like, that...
God of War's got a nice bald head.
The Hunter's very jagged.
All that had easy been. Yeah.
Hey, Hachi's got them spiky bits on his head.
Little Big Planet might be rough.
A little Big Planet would be all right. I think the one I'd be worried about...
Don't forget they're made out of plastic, not cloth, Dan. So.
The one I'd be worried about is the Wipeout ship, is what I think would... Yeah, that's where you're going to run into problems, mate, slipping that in.
So the other kind of thing against the Amiibo launch lineup compared to this is a lot of the Amiibo stuff, because they were based off of fictional figurines turned into real figurines, a lot of them couldn't stand up in the poses that they had in the video games, so they required, like, stupid little coloured... plastic sticks to hold them up. So the big joke was the Legend of Zelda Link figurine has a yellow stick coming out of his ass, and he looks like he's on this weird block of frozen urine. These, apart, with the exception of the Wipeout ship, because that can't stand up and it's meant to be hovering, none of these have those kind of perspex sticks to them, which is quite nice. And the other thing when I went to go check them out is I got shown the second line of these figurines. But they have also coming is Sonic the Hedgehog.
Really?
Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog. The Prince from Ni No Kuni 2.
Ooh.
You've got the Sun from the new God of War. And you've got Jin Kazama from Tekken. And then they had another character which I couldn't make out. He looked like a skeleton holding a gold shovel. And when I asked what he was, the guy went, oh, that's from Sea of Thieves. And I went, I don't think that's right. And he goes, no, yeah, it's definitely Sea of Thieves. And I went, that Xbox exclusive Sea of Thieves that's published by Microsoft. You went, yeah, that's the one.
It wasn't.
I don't think you know what you're talking about.
It wasn't Matey Boy from Medieval, no?
I was thinking it might have been something from Medieval, but it wasn't Sir Daniel, if that's the case.
Okay, wasn't Sir Daniel.
It looked like a skeleton with some kind of gold shovel in his hand. Okay. But yeah, they all look like very nice figurines. The pictures don't do them justice. I'm kind of tempted into picking up a Hunter just because he looks so cool, and because Bloodborne figurines are usually very high quality £200 statues rather than paying like £15 for a small one that you could have on your desk.
Or up your butt.
I could go for a Sackboy. I like a Sackboy.
Yeah, I've got a lot of Sackboy toys already, so I'm good. I kind of went hard.
I just heard the word Sackboy. I've been playing too much Gentle Jousting.
Oh, no. Yeah, I kind of went hard into the Sackboy stuff when the first...
Oh, don't say these words! God's sake!
He just said that.
Although I do have a Hunter Sackboy as well, so I've got the best of both worlds.
Right, okay. Gents. Right, well, that's good. Yeah.
Are there any PlayStation guys that you'd like to see as a figurine? Dan?
The guy from Jumping Flash.
Oh! Yes! Yes, the rabbit mech.
The rabbit thing.
Yeah, I want that.
I would like that. What else would I like? I would like a cardboard box from Metal Gear Solid.
That'd be good. I'd like that. I'd quite like a Snake, but like really polygonal PlayStation version of Snake. That'd look quite cool. What about you, Tim?
I'm trying to remember the name of the game, but was it Sir Galahad or whatever his name was? From the werewolf thing?
Oh my god, from the Order
1886. Yeah.
Galahad. Wow. And just like the Order 1886, it will release at launch price and then within a year be down to about 20p.
Wowza.
I wouldn't mind some Buster Groove characters like Heat or Nitro or someone. That'd be pretty cool.
I could take something from Until Dawn.
Until Dawn, yeah, okay. Hayden Panty Hair.
Well, figurine. I was thinking more the kind of bad guy in the mask thing than Okay, more realistic things.
Or the guy from Mr. Robot.
Or I would like an X button you can press it that just makes the sound, Jason! Jason!
Jason!
Jason!
Jason! Jason!
I would like... I would like Willem Dafoe from... from Beyond Two Souls. But just various versions of Willem Dafoe throughout the years.
There's one thing that I think they're a little bit lacking, though, these things, possibly, no? Like, not having the NF chip is understandable, like, not having that exact thing, because they don't have an NF chip reader in any of the PlayStation stuff. But it seems like they could have done, like, a portal that you could have stuck into the PlayStation itself or the controller or something.
Well, a portal's not a PlayStation exclusive, though.
That is true. but no, like, a portal that you could then put the figures on that could read some information from it somehow, kind of thing. It doesn't seem like that would have been that difficult to do, no?
I mean, that would require some kind of form of connectivity again. And then you'd be paying out for a portal as well. But yeah, I think they're nice. I just wanted to mention them.
Good for you. But talking of Toy Fair, that's where you chaps have been this week, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all I really wanted to mention about it. I'm sure Tim's got some games that you should be watching
out for. Got a 4-hour diatribe ready to go.
Not really entirely, because basically I was pretty busy doing everything board game related to the point where I didn't really get round to see some of the other bits and bobs that I kind of do, or kind of have done in previous years. Like, we didn't get back to go back to the Funko stand and stuff like that, because, yeah, we saw a little bit of that, but then just got caught up in business. And most of the board game stuff I don't want to talk about, because it will spoil upcoming Tabletop Tuesdays or upcoming reviews. But
okay, are there any board games that you saw that should be the one to watch, to look out for?
Again, like, literally, there's some quite exciting stuff, but it's all, like, stuff that we'll be talking about when we can talk about it. And some of the stuff, there's not much that I probably couldn't talk about. Like, most of it's probably public knowledge that the games are coming. Just saw lots of stuff from, now is Mondi UK, as they're called, as Devium, who've been, like, one of our long-term partners for Tabletop Tuesday. And then, yeah, caught up with some other people, Cold Spring, who have just taken over all of Yellow's games, which gives them quite a good library of stuff, like King of Tokyo, that you probably know, Coleman.
I know that. Oh, they're adding real monsters to King of Tokyo now.
Oh, yeah, we saw...
actual licensed, like, King Kong and Cthulhu
and
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that looks quite cool. That's quite a cool expansion to that as well. And, yeah, just... we saw some other stuff from their lineup that's coming up that will be hopefully coming to Tabletop Tuesday near you soon. And then, yeah, just caught up with a few other companies. And there's lots of other companies that seem to be, like, reissuing board games at the moment, or just, like, expanding their lineup of board games and stuff. So it's good to see that there's quite a few companies that were really added to the line and the range of games that
they're
doing.
These Devium guys are doing, like, a launch of Fisher-Price stuff. And these are just toys, not board games. Mm. And they had, like, this wind-up TV thing that would play. And I remember it specifically from my childhood and looked exactly as I remember it. And they had, like, the old plastic record player and the telephone with the face on it. But the telephone, like, it's discolored like it was as my childhood toy as well. And I was like, wow, these are... It's not impressive for anyone else particularly, but it's just something I had as a kid and was like, wow, that's amazing.
We did see some, like, mini little arcade machines as well that had, like, Asteroids games on them and stuff like that as well. Cute. They were quite cool. But, yeah, I don't think we saw much real video game stuff apart from those models that you were talking about, though. No, there ain't such much.
I saw a bunch of Funkos.
I did run into a VR developer who just happened to be at the event for other reasons and stuff. And yeah, hopefully that someone I'll have an interview with coming up shortly. So I'll leave that till we see him at some point, hopefully. But yeah, just generally, as I said, we did a lot of stuff for Tabletop Tuesday. There will be some upcoming reviews to watch out for, and some, yeah, good upcoming games. But we added a few new companies and kind of, you know, cemented a few new friends and kind of, got lots of new stuff on the way. So Tabletop Tuesday, going places and getting even more games that are offered to us and from, even more companies and, yeah, growing the list of places that we have supplying us, which is good, basically.
Excellent.
Anyway, let's crack on, because we've got games and less time than we need to talk about them.
Indeed. So what have you played this week, chaps?
Well, this week I have played a bit of The Impatient.
Were you getting probed? What, it was like about being a patient in hospital, right?
Pretty much, like, we'll come to
right.
Basically, for anyone
first-hand experience, that sucks.
Yep. For anyone that doesn't know, this is the prequel to Until Dawn.
Right.
So,
I've heard of that game.
We've already had one VR games set, and this is a PSVR title, PSVR exclusive. We've already had one game set in the Until Dawn universe, which was Rush of Blood.
Rollercoaster game.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster, kind of like gun shoot 'em up type thing, and was a launch title and was one of my favorite launch titles. I absolutely loved it. I was looking forward to this title, but with some reservations. Like, I was hopeful it would be good. This was the one game that I didn't get to try on PSVR at EGX, and I had to go on someone else's kind of say-so, and I've had to go on other people's opinion stuff since. But I've played the first hour or so, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's apparently a two-hour or so game. A bit disappointed overall. First of all, I will preface it with, generally, horror is not my favourite genre. Everyone raves about Resident Evil being one of the best PSVR games, and I still haven't played it yet. Like, I think I will probably enjoy it. I just keep on meaning to get, like, have enough time to dedicate to it and just not sort of carved out the time to do so. But
I appreciated watching other people play that game, but yeah, not enjoyed playing it myself.
And I appreciate that other people like that game and will probably and like the genre more than I do. That is until Dawn. And Until Dawn was, if you remember, my game of the year for the year it came out. I absolutely loved it. And so jumping back into that universe and being a PSVR game, it sounds like the ideal type of thing. I was a bit worried because there'd been quite a few trailers for this and it looked really nice, but there wasn't much hint of what was going on with the gameplay. And it seems one of those things where they seem to have possibly gone for, like, technical checkpoints rather than, like, enjoyable gameplay, basically. It looks really nice. It's really atmospheric. It's quite good at being, well, it's better when it's being creepy. The jump scares have made me jump because that's kind of what they do. But, like, they don't feel, that to me doesn't feel like well-earned horror, if you see what I mean. It's the cheaper end of the scale, and I think most people, even like big horror fans, kind of feel that way. Most of the scares I've had in this game so far have been jump scares. There's two scenes that have been like two occasions where I've been given a lot more in terms of, you know, that feeling where literally your skin is crawling because of like how uncomfortable you are with what is happening in front of you, basically.
Only ever when you described video games.
only when you talk about VR.
Only when you're watching football, but not watching football. You're watching men talk about football while they watch the football.
Right, yes. Okay, that when I do that to you. Okay, right. Anyway, right. But like, it's at its best when it's able to do that. The one thing that made me go, really like freaked me out, but like in an enjoyable kind of way, which is a weird way to describe. There's literally a bit where at the beginning of the game, you're sat in a chair and there's a kind of psychiatrist type character. You're not really sure. He's a doctor. He's got a stethoscope on him, but that's about
that's
as qualified
need.
As you need. But
that's all you need. That's what I did.
They give you a stethoscope.
I'm a doctor.
Done.
Have you got a degree? No, but here's my stethoscope. You're hired.
Okay, we're all good. But yeah, anyway, right, so this guy is...
The way the NHS is going, mate, I wouldn't be surprised.
This chap is interviewing you and kind of going through some stuff to try and help you with the problems you're having with your memory. That's the setup to the initial part of the game. And you're in this sanatorium, which basically is referenced in a location in Until Dawn. And this is set like 60 years before that. Anyway, this guy's interviewing and you're strapped to this chair and you feel quite helpless because you're strapped to this chair and everything. But at the end of that scene, he injects your leg to kind of put you to sleep. And as soon as he put the needle into my leg like twitched. And I kind of like, had the kind of, what do they call it? The
phantom pain.
Yeah, phantom pain of like being injected in the leg. And I was like, that feels really weird.
Actually,
oh my God.
No, it's not phantom pain. It's somatization.
Okay.
Somatization.
Good.
Well, my
easy for you to say.
Mine's the name of
degree.
A video game and it's easier to pronounce.
Yeah. Dan, I believe that word is easier to pronounce if you're wearing a stethoscope.
Hang on.
So
hang
you
on.
Know.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So, I love that he's got one to hand.
I do, actually. Remind me of the good times. Somata. No, doesn't work. No.
Wow. Right, anyway. But yeah, so... like
somatization. There we go. I've been stethoscope on back to front. Sorry about that. Somatization. There we go.
To be fair, it's difficult to wear which way to... know which way to wear a stethoscope until its powers have imbued in you and you can know what's going on, basically. Anyway, but look.
Jesus, it's not like the bloody sort of Grey Skull.
By the power of stethoscope.
By the power of numbskull.
Stick your thumb up an old person's bum.
Right, anyway, right, so, yeah, impatient. Basically, most of the game, like, apart from the beginning part of the game where you're strapped in this chair and talking to this guy, most of the game so far has taken place just in the room you're locked in with one other patient. And the kind of interaction with him, the interaction with the nurses coming in, and then when you go to sleep and freak the hell out, everything gets a bit freaky, and yeah, that's when it does most of the jump scares and stuff like that. I won't spoil exactly what's going on with that from what I've ascertained so far, but there's still a bit of a mystery kind of set up to what's going on. Like something happens in the sanatorium, and although I haven't had it explained to me in the game, I kind of know what's going on from having played Until Dawn, basically. So it's one of those things where I think you're only really going to get the best out of this if you have played Until Dawn, but it's probably not necessary and might leave you with a few more questions until it's wrapped up in the game itself, basically. But yeah, like for me, as I said, like there's some stuff that's really interesting. The best thing is probably the conversational stuff. And that's something which they've leaned heavily on, and I think I would enjoy that more in another setting than in a horror game in this type of environment. But that's really quite interesting. Like basically what it does is it gets you, like you don't have to do it this way, you can just choose it with a button, but you can enable voice commands basically. And it still kind of wants you to look in the direction of the line that you're going for, or that still seems to help it out at least, but you just speak the line. And it also encourages you early on in the game to not only speak the line that's being said, but also put emotion into it as well. And I don't know if it's really picking up on whether you're putting the right emotion in or not, but it seems to be less responsive when you're not doing that, basically. And so it's really interesting, because basically what it does, it will put up like the wording of what you're saying, and behind that word, in a bolder kind of font that's kind of faded out behind it, it has the emotion that you're supposed to convey with what you're saying. So it'll be like, I don't believe you, and you're supposed to say it in a dismissive manner and stuff like that. And yeah, like, that's really interesting, works really well. Like, literally, I've had a couple of times where I had to repeat a line, but generally speaking, it's picked up on it most time, first time, every time kind of thing. So that's been quite impressive, and that technically is impressive, and as I said, I'd like to see that implemented in other games. The rest of the controls, maybe not so much. I've heard that the movement stuff with the move controllers is so horrible that I don't even want to try it, basically.
Okay.
But then when playing with the DualShock, I don't know, it feels a bit weird at times. There's bits where you've got to like eat a sandwich and you've got to kind of put it to your mouth.
Nom 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 nom.
The weird kind of hand contortion things that my character was doing to get the sandwich in his face was just like wrist bent back on itself and all sorts of. It was just like, it looked really odd. And they've kind of given you a full body, which not a lot of VR games have done. A lot of the times you're just a floating pair of hands and a head or something, or just a floating pair of hands.
I think too often you come back with a VR game and go, yeah, I mean, it's fine. The controls on the move are terrible, though.
What I really expect you to say in the comments, you ever come out of a VR game and go, f***, I've got arms!
I can eat a sandwich with ease!
But, like, I don't know. That's one thing. As I said, I haven't even played with the move controls because I've heard such bad things about it. But, and because it's all teleportation, I just don't like that. I also had to escape from the horrible nightmare of click turning by going into the menu, and you can just turn that off. So at least you can just turn that off. The environments look really good. The characters look quite cool. But I don't know, like, having your own body there is just a bit weird when it's not responding to what you're doing and the way you're sitting and stuff. So it's fine when you're sitting down and talking to someone else, but then you'll stand up and walk around the room and you can look down and see that your legs aren't quite moving properly so that you could be walking. You're kind of a bit floating across the top of the time, and then the odd time your leg will move but not quite properly, and it all just gets a bit disjointed. I also found that it kept on more so than most games, and some games seem bad at this and some games seem fine at it, but it kept on losing tracking a bit and kind of rotating left or right a bit, and I had to keep on recentering it. And yeah, this game just seemed to do that more than I like it to be acceptable kind of thing. I don't mind if it happens, you know, the odd 10 or, you know, well, not even that. Even that's a bit too much. If it happens in, you know, a 20, 30 minute playthrough, that might annoy me. That doesn't happen in most good games that I've come across. And if you remember, this was delayed from before Christmas. And I think it could have possibly benefited from being delayed a bit further. Apparently, as I said, it's only about a two-hour game. They are charging £35 for it as a digital copy, and I'm glad I didn't pay that. I was a bit hesitant, as I said, going into the game, so I deliberately bought a physical copy and ended up getting that for like £22, which was a significant saving on the what's name? What?
Grandpa's hammer.
Yeah.
What a savings.
As I said, as much as I love the Until Dead universe and as much as I love pretty much everything that Supermassive have put up until this point, I don't think I can recommend this unless you're a big fan of Until Dawn and you want to see where the story goes. And even then, I'd wait until it's a cheaper price than £35 to pick it up, basically, unfortunately.
The only review of a game that was longer than the actual game it was reviewing.
You have to get injected into the leg. Do they take you to a room? And they're like, and this will be your roommate. And you go, who? And they go, im. And then it goes, impatient.
But yeah.
Oh, God! It carries on!
Well, no, I was just going to say, Bravo Team is coming out later this year. That was also delayed, but I've played the demo of that and quite enjoyed it. It's got some possible technical problems, but hopefully that'll all be
behind it.
And I'm still looking forward to it. But hey.
Good. Oh my God. Oh, I think I've just woken up from a VR-induced coma.
Hey, look, you had no VR last week. I could have gone about more VR games this week.
So, Tuesday's a Tuesday. Tell me about the Tuesday, Timothy.
This Tuesday, we have a game kind of called Hooray. Number 9. It's Number 9, but without any vowels. It's
Number 9.
Don't we have a review up on the site for that game?
Yeah, you can review it. It's reviewed quite well. It's reviewed well generally. And it's a weird kind of abstract game about stacking numbers on top of each other and scoring stuff. It sounds silly. It's a bit different and should be quite fun. It should be a good one for next week. Anyone doesn't know, each and every week we have a different feature game. If you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of that game at the end of the night. So come along this week and you could win yourself a copy of the game that we have as the feature game of the evening.
Indeed.
And that's in Loading Bar in Dalston in North London. More details up on the top left-hand corner of the site or on our meetup group.
Yay! Anyway, we just need to thank a couple of people, ladies and gentlemen, before we disappear.
Thanks, Dan.
Aside from the mutual backslapping that we like to engage in, we'd actually like to thank some people from the great good of BRB community from the forums. I would like to say thank you to the lesser spotted these days, Red Cully's Hat.
Nice to see you again, sir.
To see you, nice.
And from the Twitters, I would like to say thank you to Captain Deadpool. Nah, just Deadpool.
I think that's Gabriel Romo.
Nelly. And Ian as well. Ian Crane.
The lesser spotted Crane.
Yes.
Well, no, the frequently spotted Crane on the front page of BRB.
Ian Budgerigar.
I know.
Ian Budgerigar.
But I was just expanding it to give his work a plug, because he keeps Swift. On doing good work, so go read it.
Hi, I'm Ian Swift, attorney at law.
And from Facebook, I would like to thank Chris Nichols
Ian
and McCaw. Zach Wood.
And thank you on YouTube to Erie Shin...
Vlad.
He's going to have to tell us how to pronounce his new name.
Tidge Vladelman.
Now that we got used to his old name.
Erie Tidge Vladelman.
I thought so. Anyway, I think that's it, isn't it? We're done.
That's it.
Right.
We can do it.
Right.
We can go.
Well, I need to disappear because work. So, yeah, thank you ever so much for listening. Remember that you should point your interwebby things to www.bigredbarrel.com mm-hmm. and generally just put /bigredbarrel after most things you find on the internet to see what happens, such as Twitter or Facebook or other things. I don't know. Report back to us. Let us know what happens if you put /bigredbarrel after stuff.
Breitbart
I'm genuinely intrigued.
/bigredbarrel.
And also make sure if you venture on over to bigredbarrel.com, there's a nice little link to join our Discord server, which is super free, and you can speak to all kinds of lovely folk from the BRB community, so I thoroughly encourage you to do that. So,
ooh.
Yes. But without further ado, we're going to get out of here, or I'm going to get out of here. You might have several hours more of Tim talking about what colour the buttons were on a controller that he didn't mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. using very
there
much while
playing
VR.
One, and a green one, oh, and a red
one. It's got the red one, Coleman. It's got the red one. That's the most important one, because we're big red barrel.
Anyway, I've been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've been Coleman.
Yes, you have. And this has been a show, so... Thank you ever so much for listening, and until next time, dear listeners, doodle bye.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.